All right. As you can see, Sunday is going according to plan from the very get-go. 24 hours ago, there was a hint that I might preach, but I didn't really know. And so naturally, I call sermons I have in my back pocket sermons, just in case something like this were to ever happen. And so if you're a note taker, I apologize. Your notes are wrong from the get-go. To those online as well, your scripture's wrong in your Bible app, so you're just going to have to work with me on the fly. Now, my favorite verse in all of scripture is John 15:5, and we're already in John, and I might be getting a little bit ahead of Troy in this, but I figured I'd take the opportunity to preach on that. And so, it's something that's always been a comfort to me. It's been, you know, my life verse, whatever you would like to call it, was that as well. I don't really know why. It was always, it's a gardening verse. It's about the vine. I don't garden whatsoever. If you said you have a green thumb, I'd probably say something. I have a red thumb or a black thumb. I just kill everything I touch. Cannot garden to save my life. And so I don't really know why this verse stuck out to me growing up. Neither one of my parents are gardeners. The best thing I ever grew was a sunflower, and it was really hard to kill. It kind of took over our garden almost, like a weed. And so, not that great at gardening. I never really enjoyed on a Saturday when my parents said we have to go out to the and plant flowers and buy flowers and stuff. I never enjoyed it. I never understood why it, but just didn't. It just has clicked with me, this verse. And like many things, it provides guidance. It provides that we need to have a tether. Many of us have animals, just like I. My dog is a menace. If I take him for a walk and he's not on his leash, he would chase after every squirrel, every cat, anything that looks like a cat, every human. He would chase after everything. And if you've ever been past my house, I'm sure many of those who go to school at the high school have heard my dog bark at them and yell at them. And so when we go for a walk, I make sure he's on a leash. I make sure he's got his harness, he's got a headpiece on, so that way he stays tethered to me. Even if he gets excited, I'm able to hold on to him and keep him within rein. Yet, he still wants to do those things, but he's not allowed to because he's connected to this leash. Because he knows I'm not going to let go, and he knows he's going to yank his head forward. So he would try, but he has learned to look back at me, check on me, and make sure that it's okay to do the things that he wants to do. Many of us are kind of like that as well, that we feel this tether that people are holding on, that if we didn't have that thing, we'd go run free. Many of us might have thought about having our children on the leashes, the little cute backpacks, and keep your kid that way they don't run off in the department store or run off in the amusement park. Maybe we've thought about it. Maybe we've bought them and put them on our kids. I'm not here to judge because I think I would do the same thing. There has been times where it's crossed my mind to buy those preschool ropes that I used to hold on to preschool for youth group events. It has crossed my mind many of times. I have not bought one yet. But it would be helpful to hold on to something. We know we're home bases. We know that we are close, we are tethered, and something is stopping us from doing some of the worst things. There's same thing with the vines. In John 15:5, it says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So when we are not tethered, there's nothing we can produce as well. This is talking about producing the fruit. And as reading this last night and a couple days before, I remember, what are the fruit? And the first thing is the song that I've learned in VBS when I was in fourth or fifth grade, the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not going to sing it for you, but I'm sure many of us have heard some version of a song that reminds us what the fruit of the Spirit are. And so we have this free will that we get to use, that God has given us, that you can do whatever you want. You could get up and start screaming right now. I wouldn't appreciate it, but this Sunday, it's par for the course if someone were to, right? But we have this free will that we can do anything and everything. Now, most people, there's some sort of moral code that holds us from not doing those things. United States, it's our laws and the things you can and can't do, and if you do those things, there's punishment for them. Maybe it's a house you grew up in, certain things you could say or not say to certain people, things you could or couldn't do, raising your voice or being disrespectful to your parents might have ended up in a result that you remember all too well. And many of us have implemented that in our kids as well, where there's certain things that they won't say, things that they won't do. And maybe they do it with their friends or over their friends' houses, whatnot. But in this household, we don't do those things. And so it holds us to this tether. And as Christians, we're holding on to the vine, that apart from God, we cannot do anything. This tether, this lifeline, is needed for us. Right? We produce two kinds of fruit. There's fruit of the Spirit, which we'll later get into. And when you're connected to the vine, those are the fruit that you produce. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, and self-control. But when we're not attached to the vine, it says here in John that Jesus is speaking, that depart from me, you can do nothing. And what he means is nothing good can come from it. You are going to produce fruit that isn't fruit of the Spirit, but rather fruit of the flesh. And so we must abide. We must remain in God. It is not this thing that you kind of loosely hold with your parents' hand when you cross the street. And as soon as you cross the street, you can let go and be free once again. But it's something you constantly need to be in. You constantly need to be attached to. People will tell you that gardeners, I'm sure, don't ask me, I can't garden, but ask someone who can, and they'll tell you if you cut a branch off and then leave it on the table, it's not going to do anything for you. It's not going to grow any fruit. It's not going to grow any leaves. It's going to wither and die. And later in John, Jesus says, we will prune you and cut you off and throw you into the fire, for my Father is the gardener of that. And so that's pretty harsh terms that Jesus uses, but he uses this for two reasons. One, there are many gardeners and people who grow things, so they understand the metaphor here. It clicks for them. But also, throughout the Old Testament, Israel is compared to being the vine. You see this in Psalms, you see this in Isaiah, where Israel needs to be connected to this vine. That they need to be, it's a sacred image for that. And so we see in Psalms, Chapter 80, restore us, O God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt, which is Israel, who you drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. So constantly this vine is this connection to this new covenant that Jesus is presenting to this people and presents to us as well, but this call back to Israel as well, that we are all part of this family that believes in Christ. And it says later in Isaiah that, Isaiah chapter 5, it says, what have I done for my vineyard that I have done for it? When I look for good grapes, why do they yield only bad? Now I will tell you that I'm going to my vineyard. I will take away its hedges and it will be destroyed. I will break down its walls and they will be trampled. And so we see this vineyard of, I'm going to take care of my vineyard. And John, we see Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and God is the gardener. So he's tending to us. It's a constant relationship where we are abiding and holding in Christ, but also Christ and God are helping us. They're pruning us. Those things that stop us from bearing this fruit of the Spirit, but rather the fruit of the flesh, they prune those things. That doesn't mean you won't be tempted if you're connected to the vine. That doesn't mean, just like my dog, he still doesn't jump at every cat and squirrel he sees, but he knows he can't get too far without it. He knows that if he jumps up and goes after it, I'm going to pull him back, and he's going to have a harsh reality when he lands. I'm sure many of you can relate to that, as maybe your kid has tried to run off while still holding your hand, and you get yanked in one direction. But that kid's not going far, and we, children of God, are not going far without that. And so God is eager to see his vines produce fruit. Not only does he care for us in this instant of caring for his vineyard, but he's eager to see fruit, right? Just like we are eager to see works of our labor, God wants to pour into us and see those fruit. He wants to see the fruit of the Spirit in each and every one of us. It's not good enough for Jesus or God to have 50% of the vineyard producing good grapes and the rest not, but rather he wants 100% of his people to produce fruit. It is not a you or I thing, or they're doing it. They got goodness, so I'll take joy and you take love and we'll cover it. But rather, the fruit of the spirits are one, that you must produce all those fruit or none of them. And so we see this picture of Christ as the vine and us as the branches as a description of spiritual life. You must constantly be nutrienting yourself. You must be constantly in the Word. You must be constantly communicating with other Christians, whether it be fellowship, having fun, or going to Bible study, bouncing these ideas off one another. Right? This remaining or abiding is not just a steadfast thing, but something that we continuously do throughout our lives. It is not something at 21 where we say, we've done it before, we're good, we're done with that, but rather it's something we continuously do throughout our lives. And hopefully we have helped by mentors or mentees or parents, grandparents, friends, and whoever else that pour into us and help us. As many of you know, maybe you've house sits for some people, but they need you to water their plants. They may be the gardener that's constantly there for their plant, but that week of vacation, you have become that person. You are now pouring into that plant's life, and we're the same. You won't always have the same mentors in your life. You won't always have the same exact people pouring into your life, but you have seasons of different people. You have seasons of different gardeners and people trying to pour into you and nutrient yourself. And all those things. And so this fruit that we're going to have is pointed out in Galatians. Here Paul writes to a church of Galatian and is pointing out that they have been tempted, that they have been producing fruit of the flesh. And he says, no, you need to produce fruit of the Spirit. So we see this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, where he says, but the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And so the interesting thing is here in the original Greek, we read this in English and say, all right, there's one fruit of love, there's one fruit of joy, there's one fruit of spirit. But in Greek, this word fruit is a singular fruit. So it is one thing that reproduces all of these things. So it's not something where we can separate one without the other. You cannot have love without joy, and you cannot have kindness without gentleness. That you need all of them together. And so Paul, all he is expanding and reiterating that what Jesus had said in John. That these are the things, when he says we need to grow fruit, these are the things that we're talking about. And I was thinking and reading through this that what are the fruit of the flesh? What are the things that we oppose here? In this, there's all kinds of things that Bible points to that when we're not in the vine, where we're not producing these fruit, we're producing other fruit. Things like anger, things like sexual immorality, things like temptation. These things that produce are not for God. Rather, they bring other people down with us. Sin is not a thing that is done alone. Usually, you like to think it's done in private, in security, and these things that no other people will see, but rather you're bringing down the kingdom of Christ. If we are brothers and sisters in Christ, then we need to work together in this. That when you let down God, you're letting down the rest of the church. And that's not something to shame you or anything, but rather that we want to come help you produce these fruit. Right? We are the branches. And so if you ever look at a tree, there's branches off of branches. That those seeds that you plant, the people you influence, are coming together. These people that you invite into Christ say, hey, produce this fruit with me. It's so much better than anything else. It's so much better than anything the world can produce. One of my favorite things, I'm not a big orange juice person. I like apple juice a whole lot better. But we went to Florida one time for vacation, and man, is that orange juice way better than anything else. And this fruit that is so fresh, it's so good, it's so sweet, and it's so amazing to taste. It's so much better than, I think, a chocolate bar or anything like that. I'll take fresh fruit produced from where it's supposed to be than anything better. That's exactly what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's this sweetness, this inviting things. If you read this, you go, these are all good things. Why would I ever want anything else? But the world tells us this fruit of the flesh is so much better. It says, why love when it's so much easier to hate? Why be patient with someone when you can be quick to anger and judge them for it? Why bother worshiping this one God when you can have idols of this world, whether it be yourself or things of the world? Those things are so much easier. They don't require so much commitment than this God guy. Why worry about the church as a whole when you can just have selfishness? Why be meek and gentle when you can be boastful in yourself? Why do those things? It's so much easier to produce fruit of the flesh. But here Paul writes in that this stuff is so much better. That love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are so much better than the world. In these things, this love in the original Greek is the word agape. In Greek, there's 8 terms of love. In English, we only have 1. It's always frustrated me that we use the same love here. We say, I love pizza in the same, but it's 2 completely different things. Agape refers to a selfless love, a love not for me, but for my friends, for an unconditional love, the kind of love that God shows to us. This love with no strings attached. We don't have a condition, if you do this, then I will love you. But God says, no matter what you do, I will love you. And it is a choice. It is each and every day we wake up and say, I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to produce love. It's not a feeling or butterflies in your stomach, but rather a choice that I'm going to love you regardless of your flaws, regardless of what you do. It's a foundation for all other fruits. There's nothing you can do without having this love first. This joy is a deep-seated joy in Christ. The joy is not something of the world or happiness that we get, something fleeting, but something that we know comes from God. Joy doesn't mean that we're always happy, but we can have joy in sadness that is independent of any circumstance that you or I experience. Rather, it's a joy that we say, I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm going to be joyful in this. That we are rooted in God's presence in this, just as the vine, just as the branches are established in the vine. This peace is a referring to harmony, something of wholeness, often used to describe restoration of relationships, that we have peace together, that we provide peace, that when we walk into a room, we bring the energy down to a calmness, even in all the excitement that's going on. It is not just an absence of conflict like the world will tell us, but the presence of God in our heart, and people can see that about you. Patience. Patience is a virtue. I'm sure you've said to others, or it's been said to you many times, and many of us are not patient on things. We want things to happen instantly, especially in today's age where you can pull out your phone and do so many things at a click of a button, and when something takes just 2 or 3 seconds to buffer, we tend to freak out. Or at least I do. I start to refresh. I start to figure out what's broken. How could it possibly take this long? But rather, this patience that he's talking about is this enduring of different circumstances. This waiting out and knowing you're assured by Christ in order to do this. It's ability to wait on God's timing, not our own. This world has taught us that if you just want to do something, go up and do it. You don't have to wait for anyone or no one, especially in this day and age of independence and whatnot. But rather waiting on our timing, we're going to wait on God's timing and say, this may not be when I want it, but it's when you want it, Lord, and I'm okay with that. And we know and trust his process in that as we sit there connected to the vine. Self-control is mastery over one's self-desires. Instead of having these fruit of the flesh, we say, no, I don't want that. Rather, I'm going to use God's strength to hold this. My dog does not have this. He does not have mastery over self-control. When he sees a cat, he jumps. When he sees a squirrel, he tries to run. And it's okay to struggle with these things. That's why we're tethered to the vine here. But as we grow these fruits, we realize that I don't want these things. I may want them instantly, but I have patience in God, and I have these things in Christ, that I have self-control over these things, not through my own ability or my power or my strength, but because I am connected to the vine, I am connected to Christ and all those things. And so we are the branches, and this fruit we produce is not just for us. It's not just so we can live a better life in this, but rather we can do this for others. Fruit is meant to be shared. Fruit is meant to be eaten for others. Farmers don't just grow fruit so they can feed their family, but so that they can share with their neighbors, so that they can sell at the markets, so that they can be a part of a community and others get to enjoy this fruit. And we are the same way. That if we are to produce this fruit, it's not just for our own good that we can say, I'm connected to the vine, I'm holier than thou, but rather I want to share this fruit with others. I want to show you how good this fruit is. This love, this joy, this peace, this patience, this kindness, this goodness, this faithfulness, this gentleness, this self-control is so good, I want you to have a piece of it. Because that's exactly what Christ has done for us. He wants you to bear fruit, and he says, do it because it is good, and I say it is. And Paul reminds the church of Galatians, just like he reminds us today, is not just for us. It's not just for you and I to go out of this church and feel good about ourselves on a Sunday, but rather we can go out to the world and say, this fruit is good, come and try a piece. In verse 24 through 26, the rest of chapter 5, Paul goes on to write, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envying each other. This in step with the Spirit is not, again, this reaffirmation of it's not a one-time thing. It's not just us standing there being a branch connected and say, this is good, and we get to hold hands and sing kumbaya, but it's rather keeping up with the Spirit, this in step, this marching together like soldiers. I'm always impressed when I see military marching together, whether it be a game where they march together to bring out the flag, or videos online, how they can all seem to have perfect timing with one another. And obviously that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to do that. It takes time to learn each other's rhythms and whatnot. And we have to be the same, that we must be in step with Christ each and every day. You are not alone. You cannot produce this fruit alone, because God reminds us in John that apart from me, you can do nothing. That is not anything you or I can do as a branch on our own, because God says we're going to be thrown in the fire. But rather, we have to be connected to the vine each and every step of the way. And when we step out of line, our fruit starts to shrink. Our fruit starts to shrivel up and die. And that doesn't mean we can't be reattached to the vine. As those my gardener friends would know, that you can take off a branch off one tree and put it onto another and create something brand new. And God is the greatest gardener there ever was and ever will be, and he can easily do that, because he's eager for you to produce fruit. He's eager for this process that you are going to go through to produce fruit. He's eager to prune you and cut away the things that produce fruit of the flesh, these things that are no good for you or I, but rather he wants to see you to produce this fruit, that we may consume it and give it to others to eat, to enjoy, and to say, you know what, this fruit is so much better that you have. What do you have that I don't? What is allowing you to produce such good fruit? And you can tell them about Christ, this vine that wants everyone to be attached to, this gardener that's excited for you to produce this fruit. And remember, this fruit is not singular. You cannot give them just love without joy or patience without gentleness, but you must give them the full buffet of the Spirit. You must give them the full buffet of the Spirit. You must easily and show all virtues, not just one or two because you like the way they look or do certain things for you. Rather, it's an all or nothing occasion, and it all starts with love. Throughout the Bible, love is mentioned over and over and over again. And as Americans, we tend to think love isn't this big deal. But this agape, unconditional love is the basis for all fruit. That if you do not love them, then you cannot have joy or patience or anything else. And so I want to remind you today that even in this wintry, lovely snow that we have, we are still gardeners. We are still producing fruit. The plants may die around us. They may not be producing fruit, but we are. Each and every day, every interaction you have is a chance for you to produce that fruit and give it to someone else. Every day is an opportunity for that. And I don't want you to just relish on that and say, that's kind of nice, but truly be intentional about that. In Sunday school, we've been talking about the daily examen, which is a set of prayers and questions that go over your day. And the very first one is, Lord, let me see the day as you saw it. Don't see it through my eyes, Lord, but I want to see it through your eyes. What were opportunities that I missed today that you can show me tomorrow? What are things that, you know, maybe I had a really crappy morning and that ruined the rest of the day for me, but what were some good, Lord, that I didn't get to see until now because you are? And so the gardener is saying, no, you produce fruit today. It may have not been the best day, and there's harvest days and there's growing days, but with progress becomes opportunity. That joy says, open the door and I will let you through. That we must be looking for opportunities to share this fruit, which means we must produce it and we must give to everyone. And earlier in chapter 5, Paul warns us about the fruit of the flesh and says, these things are not good, that this fruit is so much better. So I want to encourage you that to not produce oranges that taste sour or pineapple that isn't good, but the orange juice of Florida or the pineapples of Hawaii, produce good fruit, this fruit of the Spirit. For it's all rooted in God, and we must be connected with Him. So it's not just coming to Sunday mornings. It's not just going to adult Bible study on Wednesday night. It's not just about youth group on Sunday nights or Kingdom Kids or whatever you're involved, but you have to be intentional in your personal lives. It is stuff that none of the pastors can see when you go home and open your Bible for a few minutes, or you don't, and you lie to yourself and say it's fine. It's the things that we don't see, but we get to see the fruit. You know, we don't see the roots. We don't see what's going on in the branches or in the vine, but we sure as can tell the fruit that you bear. And I want you to ask yourself this week, am I bearing fruit of the Spirit or am I bearing fruit of the flesh? Am I trying to bear some fruit of the Spirit, but I'm still holding on to this fruit of the flesh? I can do all these things if I can just keep this one thing, God. God wants to come and prune that and throw it in the fire. He wants to get rid of it because He's excited for you to produce fruit. He's excited. The Lord, the creator of us, is excited for you to produce fruit. I don't know about you, but that's wild to me that He cares so much that He's excited for me to produce fruit. And He's just as excited for you to produce fruit as well. I think of God being excited like that, like a little kid on Christmas. I'm sure many of you had those if you have younger kids, but the videos and pictures you get as they open gifts and their face goes crazy with a toy or whatever they got that they're excited for. I imagine that is the excitement that God is in heaven with Christ when you produce fruit of the Spirit. This excitement, this achievement of accomplishment when you continue to do it. And so I invite the worship team up, and as we sing this last song, I encourage you to think about what fruit are you producing? Is it fruit for me in the selfishness of the world, or am I producing fruit of the Spirit to give to others because it is so good I want to share with others? That I'd rather be patient in God's timing than complain about the things of this world. Are you more concerned with those things, or are you more concerned like Jesus and Paul are to the church? Because it's important that we all are producing fruit together as a collective for the world. Because one farmer doesn't feed the earth, it's the farmers of the world. And the church is the first spot we need to. So when we look to our left and look to our right, are we producing fruit for those people? And are we producing fruit for the people of the world? Because those people don't know how good that fruit is until they have a taste.